that was a non-story from the start, and it's a non-story now. Tears immediately for my wife. Tears. I haven't seen that since our wedding night.
Ira, tell me why you trust Bill Curry Ford and general manager Sean Sullivan.
Well, I'm talking about personal experience here. I'm not talking about reading somebody else's reviews. We've had a cherry red Ford Escape for almost a year. Absolutely zero issues, zero problems. Brought it down when it needed an oil change. Fabulous showroom, great service department. Rides like a dream. Fighting with my wife over who gets to ride it. And it's been a fantastic experience. Not only that, but I love talking to Sean Sullivan about the Bucks. You know, he challenges me. He challenges some of my assumptions. He's got a very strong point of view on this franchise. Bleeds Buck, and would love you to come in, get a deal done. He's very, very flexible with pricing, financing, insurance. It's an all-purpose stop.
BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, 60 years. Mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway.
What is going on with this pass defense? I'm the only guy in America that doesn't like this guy.
Our next road game at Big Storm Clearwater, that's not until December 20th. That is going to be Fan Appreciation Day at Big Storm, Ira. We've got a whole pile of giveaways, and Florida's Elite Restoration is buying everybody a beer before kickoff. That's a 1 o'clock game against the Falcons December 20th. Going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there hassling you, Ira. But Big Storm beer, that's your beer for the holidays. Great time to stock up. Big Storm, unbelievable all across the state of Florida.
Steve, that's a great gesture from our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. They don't have to do that, but it's an indication of how far they'll go, you know, to earn your trust. And if you have a mold problem, don't wait on it. Call them immediately, because a small problem can develop into a major hassle very quickly.
That's right, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration is your first phone call. If you see water where it doesn't belong, if you smell mold, if you see mold, don't call your insurance company. Call them immediately. They'll give you a free assessment. They'll guide you if you need your insurance company involved, if it's a big job. And, of course, they handle all kinds of disasters. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. We know them personally. They'll be out at Big Storm. You can talk to them if you have a question about something else. But that is your disaster company in the Bay Area. And you can call them 24/7. They will respond immediately. And that's just a great comfort for you. Even if you don't have a problem now, you should remember Florida's Elite Restoration. When you do have a problem, you call them. You'll get a free estimate. And you go from there. Buccaneers fans, it is the bye week edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast, but we got plenty to talk about from the last game, which we all saw what happened there. Mr. Kaufman, who is the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the King of Newport Richey. Sage, how are you today on this fine Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford?
Gentlemen, I am here to serve a purpose, and that is to provide a little perspective for Buck Nation, which is in mourning in the wake of a 3-point loss to what is arguably the best team in football. Take it easy, Buck fans. Even though the three of us picked the Bucks to win, that doesn't mean we think the Bucks are a better team than the Chiefs. We just thought that the timing was right and whatever. The fact that they lost, Lee, people are going nuts. They're trying to break things down. They're analyzing this. The motion, the play calling. Lee, they just lost to a team that's lost one game in the last calendar year. 1 year. They've lost one game. They made Baltimore look silly a couple of months ago. They can dismantle any team. And Lee, the fact that they made a game of it, I'm not going to say, you know, go crazy about a moral victory, because I don't believe in it, and neither do you. But, Lee, they lost to a better team. Mahomes did them in, just like he does everybody. And I wrote it yesterday, and I'm sticking by it, Lee. Mahomes won that freaking game all by himself. And, yeah, Tyreek Hill did that, and Kelsey did that. But they did it because of Mahomes. The Chiefs didn't run the ball. The Chiefs had no pass rush. The Chiefs had lousy pass protection. The Chiefs punters stunk. But they won the game. Mahomes, they got Mahomes and nobody else does, Mr. DeCamper. No reason for Buck fans to go crazy. I think this team's still going to make the playoffs. I think you do too. And Leslie, that pushed you a little closer to the edge. You tell me.
I'm on the other side, Ira. I fully understand why fans are upset. You could argue they gave that game away. They lost by three. They spotted the Chiefs 17 points. That was 2 weeks in a row against two good teams. Todd Bowles came out with a totally trash game plan. The Bucs got way behind. It eventually cost them. That's two wins they could have had against two very good teams. But Todd Bowles was caught with his pants down 2 weeks in a row, dragged his rear end about making adjustments. Oh, they've only made an adjustment at halftime. Halftime? What are you waiting to halftime for? And so I'm starting to see why people are... I always got to qualify as Jets fans. I mean, that's a different breed, Jets fans. Jets fans go bananas about Todd Bowles, not in a good way. I'm starting to understand a little bit why. That was two choke jobs in a row. Horrible game plan to start out. Great. They made adjustments. They got things done. Why they decided they had to wait, I don't know. But that's on Todd Bowles. 2 weeks in a row, the Bucs lost two games against two good teams. And the way that this team has played, specifically the offense, the month of November, I am not putting a dime down that this is a playoff team. I don't think the Minnesota game is a cakewalk in any way, shape, or form. And I don't think they're going to sweep the Falcons. I am not convinced this team's a playoff team based on how they played in November. And I'm being completely objective when I say that. So, Ira, I fully, completely, and totally understand, if not encourage fans to go bananas, because as Mike Tanner of Pro Football Network wrote, full-blown crisis in Tampa.
Again, I must provide perspective, Stephen. I must. But I think Lee makes a very strong point, Steve. Everybody is so wrapped up into this so-called feud between Brady and Arians, and a look that Brady gave to Mike Evans on the bench. Steve, Bowles is getting off scot-free here, and in no manner should he. Steve, I think we can spend the bulk of this podcast, maybe the whole freaking week, talking about what the hell has happened to this defense since the Packers game, and that's a long time ago. They played six games since then. This defense has been lousy over those 6 weeks. For the most part, for the predominant part, they've played lousy defense. Steve, are we all going to blame this on little Vita Vea? You tell me, is it?
Well, Sage, there are so many ways to look at this. I understand everybody on all sides. You know, anybody who sits around and says... you know, they're completely freaked out. Bucks have lost three out of four. They don't seem to be getting better. I would get all that. And anybody on the flip side who says, you know what? I watch the NFL. The Bucks are 7-5. I don't see better teams in the NFC than the Bucks. Arizona is no great shakes, and they're behind the Buccaneers in the playoff chase right now. Minnesota might need a miracle. The Bears need a miracle. So I get looking at the Bucks in the aspect of their record and who they are, and that they have a bye week coming up and a soft schedule, relatively speaking, that, yeah, they look like a playoff team, absolutely. They don't look like a playoff team that could win a game in the playoffs, which doesn't make any Bucs fan happy, but they certainly look like a playoff team. You could make that argument very, very easily, mainly because if the season ended right now, they'd be in the playoffs. So I get all of it, Ira. As far as the defense goes, we also have to be realistic. While it was awful, they did hold the Chiefs to 27 points, which not a lot of teams do. And the Chiefs punted four times, which they never do. And all of it was when the game was still at play. It wasn't like a fourth quarter punt with them killing a 20-point lead. And right. So they did a lot of good things. It was a lot of heroic stops in that game. And that penalty on Jason Pierre-Paul was total baloney, that roughing the passer. He's got his arm up there. Mahomes throws the ball, follows through, and pushes JPP's arm into his head, and they call a killer crushing penalty. Arians himself said that cost them 3 minutes of possession time at least in the game.
It did not cost them 3 minutes. Arians' math is wrong. It was about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. But
Ira, he didn't pass the Regents in with flying colors in New York back in 1937, so we know that.
Now, Steve, you got to acknowledge this. You have to acknowledge this. The numbers are the numbers. Their pass defense has really been bad for about a month and a half. What is going on with this pass defense?
I'll tell you what's going on.
I asked Arians if it's the rush, if it's the coverage. Of course, I gave him the opportunity, and he took it. Well, Ira, it's a combination of both. You know, coaches love to say that. Lee, I'm not specifically talking about this game because Pat Mahomes can rip anybody for 460 yards.
Except he doesn't, Ira. That's a bad excuse. He doesn't throw 462 yards a game. He throws 305.
He's on pace to throw 40 touchdowns. I mean, he is. And he could very well win an MVP award for the second time in 3 years. So, look, you're not arguing how great Patrick Mahomes is. You're not arguing that. But, Lee, my point is this. I'm not talking so much about Patrick Mahomes. I'm talking about Jared Goff, who apparently stunk yesterday against San Francisco. Yeah. Stunk.
McVay unloaded on him at the press conference. And I don't see half of America. Well, I shouldn't say half of America. I don't see half of American cable networks melting down that Sean McVay called out his quarterback.
And Lee, I'll let you respond to this because it's a number that, I don't know, I just think it's a pebble in Buck fans' shoe. When I tell you, Lee, that on the season, they're allowing 70% completions, Lee. I mean, we haven't seen that since the glory days of Mike Smith. What's going on, Lee?
Yeah, I'm just starting to think the Bucs are just cursed with garbage pass defense. That's the only thing I can think of. There's no other. Yeah, I'll go back to Bowles. Monday afternoon, Daniel Jeremiah was on NFL Network, former NFL scout, and they asked him to break down Cheetah Hill. And Daniel Jeremiah is not one, as most NFL people are, he's not one to go after anybody. They just don't want to do it. You know, they got to stick up for their brethren. So if they want to rip someone, they use all kinds of comfy words like, oh, I don't know if that was such a good choice. You know, they really cotton it up, you know, make it not a soft landing. They don't want to call out their brethren. And Daniel Jeremiah said, having Carlton Davis go one-on-one with Tyreek Hill and not jam him at the line is a very, very flawed defense. And obviously he went bananas. 200 yards. Ira, when's the last time you heard of a playoff team letting a receiver get 200 yards receiving in one quarter? When? I've never heard of that before. Yay, 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 they're in the playoffs. They got four games to go. Why about the end of the... Really? Name a playoff team that let a receiver get 200 yards in the first quarter? In the first quarter! But yep, Bucks are playoff team. Oh boy, bring on the Packers. I'm not seeing it, Ira.
Ira, let me answer your question. The reason that the pass defense is struggling so much, the number one reason is talent. We knew that was a weakness going into the season. They're extremely young. Dean and Murphy Bunting have not really taken a step this year that you look for from a second-year player, especially a number 38 overall, I believe he was, pick in Murphy Bunting. And Carlton Davis doesn't have that elite speed. We've talked about him many times. I was never sold on the guy as a top number one corner, but I believe he is a number one corner now, but he's not elite. And the safety play isn't what it was before. So I think it's just talent combined with these Bulls just not having these guys ready and just really kind of, and that speaks to the completion percentage that you brought up. They are the worst in the NFC at whatever it is, 69.7%.
Right. But Steve, doesn't that behoove? Is my word of the daily, behoove. Doesn't that kind of behoove Bowles to get back to what he was doing that was so successful, which is blitz extensively? The Bucs, I believe in the first half of the season, blitzed about 45% of the time. It was among the top five teams in football in that regard. And I dare say, Lee, that in the last five or seven games, that percentage is like 30%. I don't understand that. This is not a soft zone team. This is not a team that has proven it can get there with a four-man pass rush. Lee. It's just not. And, you know, Devin White had a nice little run going. Well, what happened? Levante David's proven that he can blitz. Antoine Winfield can be effective. Whitehead can be effective. They don't show that they can get there with this four-man rush, Lee. They got to get back to what they were doing well before it's too late. Lee, I'm getting the sense that you feel a 2008 December collapse is right around the corner there. Am I misreading you?
Well, you're not misreading me. I'm not predicting it's going to happen, but it sure smells that way, and it sure looks that way. I don't know too many playoff teams that have rotten Novembers like the Bucks had. Generally, if you're a playoff team, you're starting to round into form by now, if not already there. To me, it sure looks like the Bucks have peaked. They peaked in October. That's what it looks like. Now, as much as I tore apart Bowles, I got to give him credit that he made an adjustment and the defense played much better later in the game. But the damage was already done by then. They were already down 17 points in the first 15 minutes. So whatever he's doing during the week, his game plans stink. Now, he makes great adjustments, but you know what? Guess who else was notorious for that? Raheem Morris. And Raheem was notorious for that week after week after week. His game plans were horrible. He made great adjustments, but the damage was already done by that time.
Steve, you know what an adjustment means? It means what you're doing ain't working. And that leads me to this, Steve. Another major issue. I mean major. And it's right there. It's right there on a par in my mind with this leaky pass defense is, Steve, their starts stink. Their starts stink. Not just yesterday. This is a pattern. I think I added it up, and I think it's 59-10 in the first quarter in the last six games. Steve, that's not a fluke. That means they ain't ready when the gun goes off. That's a problem, Steven.
Yeah, and it's really inexplicable, especially at home. And we don't have to reset the whole mess that the Bucs have been at home. They've lost three in a row at home now. There's really no answer for it. Chris Godwin was on the Buccaneers radio network today, Ira, and he said he has no answer for it. We watched the Bucs get one first down on their first four drives, which is ridiculous. This Kansas City defense is not that good, and you just can't do that. Look at all those weapons. I mean, it's just inexcusable. The Bucs have a serious firepower at running back, tight end, and receiver, and they have a good quarterback who's going to, you know, set records this year, for certainly for his age and some Buccaneers records for touchdowns and whatnot. It's inexcusable. I wanted to point out, Lee, and the reason I'm high on the Bucs with the playoffs, it's not just about the Bucs. If you do the math, if you look at all of the other teams and what's going on out there, the Bucs are just in tremendous position, which is why, you know, the stat nerds have them at 90%. Arizona, who's 6-5, who would be in the playoffs right now, they've lost 3 out of 4 in November. The Rams, their last six games, they're 3-3. They've only beaten two good teams all year, and one of them is the Bucks. So there's just not the competition there. So this is just that kind of year. The math says 9-7 is going to make the playoffs. The Rams still have to play Arizona twice, and so they're going to smack each other around there. So just the Bucks, barring a total collapse, 9-7 is probably going to be enough. And if they beat the Vikings, if they win 2 out of 3 and get to 9-6, that's probably going to clinch it for them in Detroit on a Saturday afternoon, the day after Christmas, Ira.
I think beating the Vikings would wrap it up virtually. If they don't beat the Vikings, then even though Minnesota, didn't they lose to Dallas a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
That was a terrible loss by Minnesota. Terrible. And if they don't make the playoffs, that's the game they're going to look back. And they got a little lucky beating Carolina late. But, you know, Lee, if the Bucs can polish off Minnesota at home, you know, and Lee at home, you know, they start off 3-0 and now they're 3-3. So much for home field. But if they can come off the bye week, which is an advantage, not only in terms of getting healthy, Lee, but in terms of scouting your opponent, it's an advantage. Lee, I mean, let's face it, Minnesota's no great shake. I mean, Dalvin Cook is a hell of a player. They got a good rookie receiver named Justin Jefferson. Thielen's decent. And, you know, Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. But let's not go crazy about the Minnesota Vikings. So if they can polish off them and bury them, and you don't have any faith in the Chicago Bears, Lee. You saw them yesterday. That's a bad football team. That's the loss that's really going to haunt the Bucs. How the hell do you lose the Chicago Bears? How do you do that?
I'm sure a lot of people would like to figure that out. I'm not saying the Vikings are the Chiefs, but I think Mike Zimmer's a good coach. They've got talent. They got more talent than the Bears. And we saw what the Bears were able to do to the Bucs.
Well, they're a running team. Lee, they're a running team, and nobody's been able to run on the Bucs. Nobody.
Hey, Ira, just a quick reminder in case people were fast-forwarding a little bit earlier or they weren't paying attention. Bill Curry Ford is where it's at this month, December, if you want to buy a vehicle. Wow. I'm looking right now on their website at a new 2020 Ford Ranger STX four-door crew cab. They've got 30 to choose from. $24,770 or lease for $149 a month. That includes all the great discounts from Bill Curry Ford and Ford, and this is the time to buy. Of course, they've got their lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles of Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration for their support of the podcast. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your disaster company. That's your first call. If you see water or mold in your home, you'll get a free estimate, and they will take care of you, guide you through the process. And it's all free just to figure out what they do and what's wrong in your home, which is what's most important. And of course, last but not least, Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. That's it. It's sold all over the place. Go to BigStormBrewery.com, and their tap rooms where you can really get the best selection are in Clearwater on 49th Street and in Odessa and Cape Coral. Big Storm Beer, that's what we all drink.
I don't know why you have confidence in the Bucks after how they played in November. And it seems like you're almost boosterism here. I'm sorry. I see the Bucks circling the drain. Whether they go down the chute or not, I don't know. And
if this coaching staff's worth its salt, they win three of their last four and they win 10 games. And anything I think is disgraceful.
I honestly think they go 2-2. I'm not sold on the Vikings. Like I said, I'm not putting a nickel on they're going to beat the Vikings. More confidence in the Vikings than I do the Bucs. I hate to say it, but I got to be honest.
Realistically, the Vikings are playing well right now, Ira. They won, I think, 4 out of 5, and they got the Jaguars coming up next. But like you said, Vikings are very beatable, and if the Bucs don't win against the Vikings, if they don't win, that's really the first bad loss and a home loss that you could say, well, the Bears were playing better back then. It was a short week, Thursday night on the road, tougher situation. Okay. But if they lose this game at home with 2 weeks to prepare and they're healthy as can be, the Bucs are super healthy, then there's a serious, serious problem. But I just can't think the Bucs are playing so bad when they just went toe to toe with two excellent teams, lost by a field goal, and they're 7-5, and Bucs aren't playing great football. But you look around the league, they're sort of where they're supposed to be.
But Steve, the one team that you don't mention, Lee, there's one team that Isbitz hasn't mentioned is New Orleans, Steve. I mean, they're playing at a fantastic level. I'm not talking about beating the Broncos with no quarterback, but Lee, their defense is playing lights out. They're doing it without Drew Brees, and they don't lose any games without Drew Brees. I mean, Sean Payton, you know, he might be the second best coach in this league before the season started. I thought the Bucs would have to get in on a wild card. Now, I thought the Bucs would win 11 games. But I thought the Saints would win 12. And I think I'm right about the Saints. I'm not so sure about the Bucs. Lee, right now, nobody in their right mind can say the Bucs would be expected to beat the Saints head up in a matchup.
No.
All right, Ira. So we talked about the defense. The secondary failed them. The game planning failed them. And, we did get some good plays, some positives there. JPP continues to play extremely well and consistently. Shaq Barrett made a huge play. If he doesn't have that strip sack of Mahomes, the whole comeback never happens. And he played well. They didn't have enough. We get that on defense, but 27 points against the Chiefs, that's literally good enough to win. And the offense is what let them down. So Ira, in your mind, what went wrong with the offense?
Steve, and I think a big part of it is getting behind 17-0. Now, some people would suggest that with three quarters left to play, Lee, there's no reason to panic. offensively and no reason to throw the original game plan out the window. This team seems like they're in a hurry to throw the game plan out the window. If you're down 24-0 in the middle of the third quarter, you don't run the football. Understood. Nobody's going to argue about it. Lee, Ronald Jones was having success. Ronald Jones looked good. And the Chiefs' run defense, as Steve suggested a few minutes ago, it's not very good. In fact, it's lousy. And 17-0, not a bad idea to try to crawl your way back in. You know, one play at a time, one score at a time, and keep Mahomes on the bench and your defense from getting worn out. They didn't do that. He had 9 carries, Lee. 9. And let's face it, he looks a lot better than Leonard Fournette. There's no contest here. There's no competition here. Jones has run the ball very well in 2020. Period. Period. And give the guy a chance. Lee maybe even made a play in the passing game. He's got to get more touches, Lee. That's part of the problem. I'm tired of seeing Brady throw 45 passes. I don't think it's a winning formula. He's immobile. He's on pace to set a career record, Lee. Career record for single-season interceptions. You know, I thought the offensive line played well. You know, I mean, they got 2 strong pass rushers, the Chiefs. You know, Jones and the defensive end. Those are 2 studs. They handled them well.
Some Chiefs fan you are. You don't even know the guy's name. He's a Pro Bowler. Come on.
I know. I haven't eaten yet. My head's a little heat. Lee, they gotta give Ronald Jones more touches. I mean, I don't care what it takes. Give the guy a chance, Lee.
I agree with you. I sort of understand why, you know, you're down 3 scores to start the second quarter against the Chiefs. That's a hell of an uphill run, and they did it. But I can understand why you started passing more. And by the way, you know, we're always harp, you know, interceptions, like, you're sitting there, you're vibrating, interceptions. What about the touchdowns Brady's at, though? Isn't Brady throwing touchdowns, too? Quite a lot of them?
He is.
Yeah.
I don't think Brady played a bad game. I just don't want Tony Romo making excuses for him every time he throws a bad pass. I don't need
quarterback. He's got new teammates. He needs time. Well, how much time did Justin Herbert need?
How can you say that in week 12, Steve? That's ridiculous.
November 29th, you've had enough time. They've had Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Teddy Bridgewater had just as much time as Brady needed. And they had new teams. And 2 of these guys were rookies. And so if those guys were able to do it, are you telling me these guys are such superior quarterbacks than Brady? Give me a break. So I am so done with hearing that Brady needs time. Well, then maybe the Bucs screwed up and got the wrong quarterback. Maybe they should have drafted Herbert. Maybe they should have drafted or made a 6th trade with Cincinnati to get Joe Burrow. Maybe they should have got Bridgewater. If Brady still needs this much time with these weapons, well, maybe the Bucs screwed up. And I don't hear these same people saying Brady needs more time, saying the Bucs screwed up. Enough with these excuses.
I think what we hear a lot, Ira, is the former quarterbacks who talk about needing more time. And I think what they're saying really is, but they don't express it properly, is that Brady needs more time to reach the level of precision that we are used to seeing from him, which I don't even know why they say it, because it's obvious. How is Brady going to have the same level of precision in the Bucs offense compared to an offense he was in for 20 years? It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So, but he certainly, it's not an excuse for some of the things that we're seeing. Now, Ira, I would challenge you on 2 things. Number 1, first, Brady's on pace to throw 14 picks. I don't know where you're getting your info from, but he has done that 3 times in his career before. And 14's
not. I thought he's on pace for 15.
No.
He's on pace for 14.6 And in my book, you can't throw 0.6 of an interception, so it's 14.
Well, my algebra region says 14.6 gets shaved off to 15. Thus, I am correct, Mr. Isbett.
All right. 0.6 of an interception. Got it. But I would say this, Ira. I don't think he did have a good game when you look at what he really needed to do to win. He didn't throw the ball away on 2nd and 9. He's forcing it into Mike Evans. It hits a guy's helmet, and it gets intercepted. Absolutely no reason for that pick. And he's supposed to be the master of the throwaway. He's supposed to be the anti-Jameis Winston. That was a Jameis Winston play, and that cost them the game in a lot of ways. And he's also supposed to see the field better. And that interception to Scotty Miller, it's a ball he's got to either throw away or just realize that, hey, Miller was covered, and I don't need to throw Scotty Miller open when we're driving and we have better options. Maybe I check to a run or something else. You know, that Miller pass was right after a deep ball that was connected to Chris Godwin. So I don't know. I don't like some of the decisions Brady made. They weren't championship caliber in that game.
Well, Steve, you're kind of making my point for me in terms of if he's throwing 45 balls with this team, you know, under these circumstances, he's going to throw a pick or two. If he's throwing 32 balls, I think you're in better shape. But that's not happening right now. Look, Steve, Mahomes threw a pick. It was called back, but he threw it. The guy threw for 345 yards and 3 touchdowns. They scored 24 points, Steve. A little better effort overall, and maybe they win that game. I didn't think he was great. He certainly wasn't Mahomes. Not close. But there was no reason to think he would be Mahomes. I don't think Brady's the reason they're losing. I just don't. He scored 24 points 2 weeks in a row, and they've lost both games. To me, I can't come down that. Now, look, that last pick against the Rams, horrible. Absolutely horrible. As bad a throw as Jameis Winston ever made as a Buccaneer. Right there. I'm not going to excuse. But let me take one more pot shot at Romo while I'm going. I'm the only guy in America that doesn't like this guy. People are falling over each other. He's making $17 million. Next year, he might make $20 million. The guy has to comment about every play. Every play, a two-yard off tackle, he's got to comment on it. He's making all kinds of excuses for Brady. Every time a team's behind 31-3, he keeps looking for bright spots from the team that's got 3 points. Wait a minute. If they block 7 more punts, they can be back in this ball game. You know, he's dying to keep the audience. I don't know. His allure eludes me. Some people love him. Yeah, he can diagnose a play before it started, but so can Hank Stram. I never heard anybody nominate Hank Stram. He wasn't making $17 million a week. So that's my piece on Tony Romo. Count your blessings, Romo. You're totally overpaid. How do you like that, DeKemper?
Romo's good, don't get me wrong. You know, sometimes less is more. Do you have to be talking nonstop? Can you dial it back a little bit? Can you let, as Russo says, let the game breathe? I mean, I don't need a nonstop lecture when I'm watching the football game. Let me enjoy it. You know, gosh. And by the way, Ira, I'm going to go old man here. First, I couldn't stand Don Meredith. And my dad couldn't stand Cosell. So between the two of us, we weren't enamored with Monday Night Broadcast. And so what my dad would do, and it was not uncommon throughout America, that people would turn the sound down on TV and turn the radio on and listen to Jack Buck and Hank Stram for the very reason you cited. He was Tony Romo before there was Tony Romo. He was always predicting plays. That was actually a good broadcast, and that was in the days you could do that. The audio was actually synced with the TV. So my dad used to do that all the time. He would turn the sound down on Monday Night Football and turn the radio on, and we'd listen to Hank Stram and Jack Buck.
And Steve, I dare say that Hank Stram wasn't making 17 million shekels of Mr. Isbett.
All right, Ira. For those who don't know, Hank Stram was the Chiefs coach many, many, many years ago when they won the Super Bowl.
They don't even know who a Hall of Fame. Come on. They don't even know who a Hall of Fame coach was. Well, our audience is smarter than that. Come on, Steve.
Come on, Steve.
I don't know about that, Ira. I don't know. In 1975, if you were listening to a podcast, would you know who the great manager of the 1920s was? You know, I don't know. I don't know about that, Ira.
John McGraw.
There you go. Down the field. That's all I got to say. NFL film. NFL film.
All right, Ira. Now, look, what you're seeing, a lot of fans are talking about play calling. What the heck's with the play calling? You mentioned getting away from the running game. But don't you have to pin some of that on Brady for not checking to these runs or changing plays? I mean, it's a three-headed monster. It's obvious, and they've been willing to admit it, that it's Arians, it's Leftwich, and it's Brady. I mean, obviously, it falls at the feet of Arians here, but are you good with the play calling? Do you feel good about it? And one question I have for you, Ira, one more, is I don't know why you seem satisfied with 24 points. This team averaged 29 points a game last year, 29 and a half.
Well, the Rams have a very good defense, Steve. The Rams have a very good defense. Chiefs have an average defense. But I'm with you. You're not playing the Carolina Panthers every week. You're not playing the Raiders. You're not playing the Broncos. You know, as Lee pointed out, two good football teams. The Chiefs are better than the Rams, but the Rams aren't bad. They're pretty good. The three-headed monster, which you aptly described in terms of the playbook and the play calling, it's a little clumsy. It's a little clumsy. Nobody's quite sure about the power structure between Arians and Leftwich. That's a little murky. Publicly, Arians seems to give off the air that he's not going to mess with Leftwich. It's Leftwich's job. He's got the title. I'm pushing him for a head coach job next year. So why would I get in there and undo what he wants to do? But in reality, the reality could be a little bit different behind the scenes. It's a little unclear. As far as Brady's concerned, Steve, I can't argue with your point. He's earned the right to check off on plays. If he wanted to run Ronald Jones more, he could do it. I don't think Arians is going to bench him, Lee. Not going to bench him for insubordination. Look, I think, Lee, I'm going to differ with you. I think this is a beautiful time to have this bye week. You couldn't have picked it any better. You don't want it while you're on a roll. You want it when, you know, you've lost three out of four in the third quarter of an NFL season. I think they're going to come out refreshed. As Steve said, they're incredibly healthy. Buck Nation doesn't want to hear me say it. Facts are facts. When you point to Vita Vea as your big injury, I mean, other teams are going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh at you, Lee. Vita Vea, good player. Do you see what we're dealing with? We got five starters out. We don't have our quarterback. So I don't want to hear any nonsense from Buck fans about being ravaged by injury. That's garbage, Lee. I think they're going to come out with a sense of purpose against your Minnesota Vikings, Lee. And I think they're going to right the ship. I think they're going to right the ship at 8-5. And they're going to virtually clinch a playoff spot. And they're going to have to do their damage on the road in January. If they're going to do any, it's going to have to be on the road. It's been done before. I think Brady's far from through. And I'm not totally discouraged at 7-5, Lee. I'm just not.
I think I'm like a lot of Bucks fans. This could have been so much better. And with all the talent they have, winning 9 games, which... right now they're looking at like a 9-17. That's way down. That's not what they should be doing. Much better.
I agree with that. If they finish 9-7, I agree with that.
And so it's a big disappointment. Now I'm not going to where Colin Cowherd said that he's expecting. Basically, what he said is Team Glazers is going to cut Arians a check to go away. I think this nonsense about Brady doesn't like Arians because Arians calls a spade in press conferences and there's going to be a power struggle and Arians is going to be gone. Arians is going to leave as a result. That is so, so overblown. And I'm going to cite two things. One, Steve, Eagle Eye, Steve caught it. You know, Jeff Darlington has an in with Brady's camp. The pride of Seminole High School was one of the very first people to say, Don't be shocked if Brady's playing for the Bucks next year. Obviously, he has an in, and he's come out and saying it, which is what Steve Young has come out and said. Steve Young said, you know, he's got friends that are mutual friends with Brady. They're in Brady's inner circle, and they claim that Brady told Arians, "Hey, I'm not above the team. Call me out. I don't care." in Darlington's reports, Jeff Darlington claims that Brady finds it almost amusing the way he calls him out in public. And so the stuff about Brady's upset with Arians and he's mad at Arians because Arians calls him out, that is completely horse hockey, as the, hey, I'm going old man here, Colonel Potter would say. This is all nonsense that Brady hacked off at Arians. They actually get along, and he actually encourages Arians to call him out. So he's part of the team.
One thing we can overlook very easily here, because of all the hype, and I know people are jumping on Arians for his comment last night about what he said about, you know, all the hype, the preseason hype. But, Steve, it's easy to forget. Make the playoffs, and you've ended a 12-year streak, Lee. And, Steve, we got to remember that. I know what the expectations were, but, I mean, just that very fact, that means a lot. You've been relevant all season. Everybody's talking about your team. 5 primetime games. If you make the playoffs, and who's to say you won't do some damage in January with the GOAT? Steve, you got to remember, just ending that 12-year streak, hallelujah. See, that's a big step.
Ira, come on. It's December 1st. What are you talking about, making the playoffs and hallelujahs? Let's get there, you know? But I agree with you in that the mindset, people don't like to... I'm not talking about Levante David mindset, Lee. I'm talking about the mindset of the fan. when fans... If the Bucks are 9-7 and they make the playoffs, and again, I will say this again, the math shows that 9-7 will make the playoffs this year for somebody. 9-7, if they made the playoffs at 9-7, fans don't like to fast forward themselves and think about, ooh, what would it feel like to go to Seattle and have a playoff game? And they're going to be all fired up, losing their minds. So I get it. And it's a step for the organization and for the experience, especially if Brady's coming back. I get it, Ira, but we got a ways to go and they can still do better. And like Lee said, the disappointment lies in what this season could have been. But, you know, there's still a ways to go. But I want to run this past you, Ira, because it was such a big deal last week that we need your sage wisdom here on this podcast, since you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. You've been covering the NFL since 1939. So, Ira, here's the deal. The big deal last week was Tom Brady can't throw the deep ball. The next-gen stats show that he was 0-for-22 or 3-for-30, you know, all this baseball like slump situations. So those next gen stats, Ira, Brady, according to that data, was 4-of-7 on these balls that traveled 20 yards past the line of scrimmage against the Chiefs. Pat Mahomes, it felt like he was 7-for-9, but he was only 4-for-8. Do you think that Brady's deep ball woes are past him? And do you believe that he has a problem with the deep ball?
I never believed the depths that people were taking pot shots at Brady. His arm is through. I saw the game against Carolina, like you guys did, which is only 3 weeks old, and I thought he was firing the ball with more velocity than I saw in the last 5 years. I thought he was throwing the ball too hard against Carolina. And led to a couple of drop passes, but boy, was he on. You can't throw a better ball than he threw to Godwin, and what a catch by Godwin. I mean, it was a beauty, an absolute beauty. A connection like that, Lee, I think you're going to find it repeated many times over the final 4 weeks of the regular season. I'm not worried about Brady's deep ball. I'm worried about 17-0 deficits and abandoning the game plan. That's what I'm worried about. Come out with a little purpose. Come out with a little vigor and take an early lead so Ronald Jones can get in some kind of a rhythm. You're going to need him in January. Suppose you go to Lambeau. You want Brady throwing 47 passes in Lambeau Field in that wind and slop? That's not a winning formula for the Bucks. Lee, you don't like the word balance except when you use it for your tires at Bill Curry Ford. Well, balance can be very important unless you got a Patrick Mahomes, Lee. So I know you were chomping at the bit to say, what about Mahomes? They don't run the ball. That's Mahomes, Lee. Nobody else got that guy.
Well, I,
Mahomes is one of a kind. There's no doubt about it. But let's think about this, Ira. The Packers, in the last, 20 years, they've had Hall of Fame quarterbacks winging the ball and worse than slop. I mean, it's Arctic weather. And I always remember Jim Kelly. You know, Buffalo isn't exactly Sarasota in the winter. And Jim Kelly was winging the ball all over the place. I think this is a wives' tale that you can't throw the ball.
Yeah, he had a Hall of Fame running back, Lee. He had a Hall of Fame running back.
Sure, but he wasn't Bob Greasy. Come on.
Well, Marino got to the Super Bowl once with that pass-happy Miami offense. And Steve, he never got back to the big game. He never got back.
That's because Don Shula would never get rid of his buddy, Don Awful Dottie.
You're taking pot shots at the great Shula?
I'm calling a spade a spade. Shula was great. Shula was one of the greatest coaches there was. But his defensive coordinator was horrible, and he wouldn't get rid of him. His defensive coordinator cost at least 2 Super Bowl appearances for Marino.
Ira Gronkowski.
By the way, can I say this about Leftwich? Can I say this about Leftwich? Is a figurehead. Leftwich is a figurehead. Michael Lombardi called this before the season was even started. And like Michael Lombardi said, if you think Brian Leftwich is telling Tom Brady what to do, you've got another thing coming. Brian Leftwich has no input whatsoever. None. And I agree with him. And Sarah Walsh this afternoon on the NFL Network, she covers the Bucks for NFL Network. She said it's Brady calling the plays. It's not Arians. And we know it's not Leftwich.
Lee, you know, the famous quote that is ignored, and I don't even know if he meant to put it in this context because it was 7-8 months ago, obviously, but Ben Roethlisberger was on SiriusXM NFL radio back in April, and he's buddies with Byron Leftwich. He, Bruce Arians, and Leftwich used to be golfing buddies. He relayed a story that when they signed Brady, he texted Byron Leftwich and said, "Hey, don't screw it up." And Leftwich responded, "All I got to do is get out of the way."
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, well, we wrote that on JoeBucksFan.com, and obviously Leftwich, you know, I don't think he's just a figurehead, but ultimately Brady's got the power, which is what we knew going in, you know, especially as the season would progress, it would be more and more Brady figuring out what he wants to do. And Chris Godwin actually talked about that on the Buccaneers radio network, really touching on that it's more and more Brady figuring out what he wants to do. So, you know, it's hard to make a case for Leftwich being the mastermind if that's the way it's going down.
If you don't bring Brady in, Arians is a big boy. He's been around football forever. You don't bring Brady in and impose your system on the greatest to ever play the game. That was never going to happen. Lee, that was a non-story from the start, and it's a non-story now.
You know, Arians did this with Jameis, and Arians has been very open about this, that they'll come up with a game plan, and they'll basically go to, at the time of Jameis, now it's Brady. Like, what plays are you comfortable with, or what are you not comfortable with? And the ones they're not comfortable with, you know, per the quarterback, they take them out of the game plan. And from what Sarah Walsh was saying, Brady on the sideline says, "Well, this is what I'm going to call on the next series." And they, you know, okay. So it's beyond, it isn't so much Arians calling plays, it isn't so much Leftwich calling plays, insert a laugh track there. It's all Brady. That's Brady's offense. I mean, yeah, it's Arians' offense, but Brady takes what he likes and he calls.
All right, Ira. Now, look, before we get the heck out of here, we dove into this game. It's been driving people crazy, and I think the nation is soothed. People are going to continue to be soothed and excited at the same time as we get closer to this bye week. And the week off and the team returning in, I believe, Wednesday or Tuesday. They'll be back next week. But Ira, I wanted to ask you about Rob Gronkowski. Big game, his first over 100 yards with the Bucs. And he hasn't missed a game all season, which for him is a miracle. And, you know, and now he gets the bye week. They managed to get him all the way through healthy. He's had a few good games in a row. He looks like he could take over a game if they gave him an opportunity. What do you think he has to offer down the road? And your gut feeling right now, is he going to come back next season?
I think they've managed him extremely well. They didn't overdo it the first half of the season. They did it piecemeal, which was smart. He wasn't in the greatest football shape when the season began. Nobody should be surprised by that after taking a whole season off. But he's starting to have some big games. Lee, he looked awfully good against the Chiefs. Went over 100 yards. I think in the next month, he's going to be a very important red zone target. His blocking is getting better. It's not up to vintage Gronkowski, but it's getting better. And the trust between Brady and Gronkowski is peaking at the right time for Buck fans. At the same time, Antonio Brown, Lee, seems to be a little bit of an afterthought. Really not too much of an impact overall. Really, you know, if you want to count how many catches he's got more than 15 yards, I think you'd catch him, you know, do it on one hand and you're using a couple of fingers. But Gronkowski's starting to take off. I think that augurs very well for the Bucs in the stretch drive. And, of course, in the wintertime, he doesn't mind. He's a guy who won't mind going up to Lambeau and frolicking in that muck. He's good at it. He's used to it in Foxborough. The playoffs was his time to showcase. And I think it's a real positive sign for the Bucs going forward that he's becoming more and more of a focal point. Is he coming back next year, Lee? I think if Brady's here, he's here. If Brady's not here, there's no chance to have Gronkowski. Zero.
I always try to look at the big picture. I, from time to time, monitor Gronkowski's girlfriend's Instagram account. And why would you not? And so she had a big thing over the weekend. Her condo, you know, Gronkowski's condo, they obviously lived together. It was a big thing for her. Our first Florida Thanksgiving. First? First means there's going to be another one coming. I know Gronkowski's mom was Fort Myers, so hopefully that's a sign that they like playing for the Bucks and they like living in Tampa. And then obviously they were talking about frolicking. Gronkowski and her were on Wave Runners. They had a big thing on her Instagram account. They were out on the water enjoying the Florida lifestyle. So speaking of frolicking, that's a different kind of frolicking. A little bit better than the muck of the tundra of Lambeau Field. But Ira, the hell with what Gronkowski and his girlfriend were doing for Thanksgiving, frolicking in the waters. You always go to your brother-in-law, who's a renowned chef. America needs to know. They want to know. They hunger for this information. What did you have for Thanksgiving?
I think it'd be easier to say what I didn't have, Mr. DeKemper.
Which is just what Steve predicted.
It was a heck of a day. And we went back. We went there and back in the same day. It's a three and a half hour drive. So that makes a long day.
Wait a minute.
We drove to Palm Coast. We feasted with the gourmet cook. And it was a highlight there because while we were driving to Palm Coast, I called my son, who I thought was in Cleveland, with his new girlfriend, who lives in Cleveland. Hey, Sam, how's the weather in Cleveland? It's lousy. It's rainy. 45 degrees. Well, flash forward about 2 hours later, you know, we're sitting around the couch at the brother-in-law's, and my son walks through the front door. He surprised us. Tears immediately for my wife. Tears. I haven't seen that since our wedding night. You know, it's unbelievable what can get. I almost got that one right past you, DeKemper. Almost got it past you.
I was trying to keep it composed. Okay.
Turkey, mashed potato, string bean, creamed onions, sweet potato, spinach, couple of glasses of rosé. My brother-in-law's got a new, you know, the guy's 77. He lost his wife a couple of years ago. He's got a new lady. He's got a new lady friend. See that, Steve? Life goes on, Isbeth. Life goes on.
Between Lee's exhaustive Instagram research on all Buccaneers activities and your Thanksgiving mayhem, Ira, and the tears, and the new girlfriend, I think we're out of here.
Food. Talk to you later this week, Stevie.